Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light, for you are nothing else.
Good evening. This is Revolutionary Life, and this is Gary speaking.
And tonight, as every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, you're listening to Revolutionary Life on that night. Every weekday night from 7 to 9, where we take on all the subjects in this world that affect us directly and indirectly. And tonight we're dealing with the issue of immigration. And we deal with all issues from a revolutionary, progressive point of view. That is to say that revolutionary just means change. Revolution just means change. A revolutionary is someone who rides the vanguard up front on that change. See, when you're in the front, when change go down, you might have something to say what it looks like. However, if you're in the back, you might not. A reactionary is somebody who tries to hold back change. Well, that's impossible. You just hold everyone back is what you end up doing. And so from a revolutionary point of view, what's up with immigration here? We got thousands of people on the border. We got lines of folks coming up here from Nicaragua, Honduras, Mexico, Central and South America, bringing children with them and end up in cages once they get here. It has ended up in cages once they got here, taken away from their mothers and their people they know and stepped into cages and the like. And what's going on, guys? How should we look at this situation? How should we address that situation as a country? And as me and you, as individuals, well, that's what we're going to address tonight. It's time to straighten this situation out, guys. It's time to look forward. And how do you look forward? First, you look at what is, how it got that way. Once you've collected that data, you can realize maybe you can work out the best step forward. And so, tonight, we're going to deal with the best step forward, best practices, immigration, how we're going to address this situation at our borders. Are we doing a good job now? Satisfied? Or are we not? What about the ones that have already made it here and deporting them? What about the ones that were raised here? They were brought here as kids. Nobody ever caught them. And realize that they were here illegally, and so they end up going to school, they end up going to college, they end up graduating magna cum laude, they end up working in our industries and our science institutions and whatnot. And but once we realize that they're not legal, should we round all these kids up, these young people up, straight out of college, wherever, and start shipping them back to this place they didn't come from? They were born and they were raised here. What do you call that? The promise. There's a group of kids like that. They have a name for that group. Get what it is now. But there are people who were born and raised here, never been to Mexico, never been to Nicaragua, Honduras. But we're going to send them back. We're going to send them there. There's no bag. They're from here. So all of these issues arise. Jobs, are these immigrants coming to take over our jobs? All these issues arise when we talk immigrants coming into our country, crossing our borders. How should a nation deal with that? How should the world deal with that? And how should you? What's left for you to do, if anything, about immigration? Welcome to Revolutionary Life, guys. This is Gary. We're here every weekday night, and we're dealing with every subject that affects our lives from a revolutionary point of view. Tonight it's on immigration. I want you to think about those issues because we're going to break it down tonight. Oh, yeah. We're going to address this issue tonight. And I hope you hang in there. I'm going to give you a little music, and when I come back, we're going to talk about the immigrant in America. That's for instance. Be right back, guys. Revolutionary Life. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be dealing with the issue of immigration. All these immigrants coming into this country. And they're not all coming in the right way. They're just coming in any way they can get in. We got to talk about this. Tonight, let's deal with immigration. I live in a home. Maybe many of you do as well. Good. Because there's a lot of Americans who don't, by the way. But I have a front door. I expect to friend, foe, stranger, acquaintance to enter my house through that door. They don't come in through the window. They don't come in through the back door at my house. That's a dangerous proposition. I have an entrance in my home, and that's the front door. So I don't care if you're an immigrant. I don't care what race you are or whatever. If you try entering my house through the windows or something, you get what you ask for. You might get what you ask for. And it might not be nice because I don't want my window to let the air in, but I didn't raise it for interest purposes. If you think of my house as a country with a border around it, like walls, I make a door. I have a front door. And salesmen, anybody, business, whether it's business or pleasure, when you come to my house, if you want interest in my house, you come to my front door and knock. Ring the bell. Let me decide whether you get inside. In my house, I don't expect that I will look up one day and have a family coming through my window. That just ain't gonna happen in my house. You do, okay, maybe you're poor, maybe you're running from drug cartels, maybe you're running from poverty, devastating poverty with your kids trying to find a better life. I got that. Maybe you need my help. I got that. But I got a front door, baby. And you know where it is. Use it. Don't come through my windows. Don't sneak in my house. As an individual, immigration seems as simple as that. Lord knows it's not, guys. It's nowhere near that. Because I control entrance and outrance, egress and ingress at my house. However, I have no control of the ingress and egress in my state, city, state, or country, for that matter. Those who do, they are those who do. They are those who are responsible for the integrity of the borders that make up my city, that make up my county, that make up my state, that make up my country. They have defined borders. You can look at a map and you can see a line drawn where my city stops and another one begins, where my country stops and another one begins. That line is like the wall. I would, as a person, I would think of it like the walls of my house, but it's not, because I control the walls in my house. I don't control the walls in my country. And the people who are assigned to do that have historically broken the rules of the border, defined the rules of the border, made the rules for what that border looks like down there, all around us, not just the southern border, the northern border. Yeah. You can sneak in here from Canada and you'd have less problems than if you sneaked in here from Mexico. How about that? Well, there's a border between here and Canada. Got troops in the south to stop people coming from Mexico. Now, Canada's doing pretty good. Most people are not refugees from Canada coming here. They're choosing to, I guess, for whatever reason. But the desperate people, the people who will walk hundreds of miles to get here with nothing but the clothes on their back, that's desperation, baby. That's not somebody playing games. That's not somebody carrying drugs. That's desperation. And you got your children in tow? That's desperation. However, we must hold our borders against these poor people, because we just can't afford to have all these immigrants coming in, right? Well, let me tell you something, guys. The immigration problem ain't your fault. It ain't as simple as protecting your home from illegal entrants. If it was, it would be a piece of cake. However, well, may not have been a piece of cake, but you could do that. However, you don't control the borders in this country, not me and you. And the people who do violate those borders all, every day. And have been historically. And no matter how you yell and jump up and down about the borders, you didn't establish those borders. You are not in control of those borders. And you won't have any decision on how those borders are ran. Who gets across, who don't. You never have. Everybody in this country who knows anything about this country knows that it was built by immigrants, Irish, Scottish, Italians, Chinese, Little Italy, Chinatown, Southie. We know that there are immigrants from all over the world in this country. Most of the people here can track their lineage back to an immigrant that came to this country. Ain't nobody worried about immigration, guys, but you. And I'll tell you why. After World War II, guys, there was a program called the Bracero program. Bracero. Brazos is like arms, like strong arms. Bracero. The Bracero program actually went to Mexico, got Mexicans and others, and brought them here to work. Yeah, it's during World War II. Most of the men were at war. So who was picking the cotton and the vegetables and the fruits and factories when all the men are at World War II or in the war? They brought in migrants. Migrant workers, they call them. Migrant, immigrant, immigration, same thing. So they would bring in these migrants for labor and cheap labor. Remember, cheap labor is a hallmark of the American economy. Right? The extreme of that, of course, is slavery. Another hallmark of the growth of what's now called the United States, where you didn't pay the worker anything. But if you have to pay them something, if you can just pay them a little bit, that's fine. And so the Mexican worker would come over here and work for chump change, what I call chump change. But it meant something if they could get back to Mexico with some of that money. It was hard to do, but you could do it if you saved. I'll tell you why it's hard to do. But they were brought here purposely. The Statue of Liberty still stands, I guess, in the Hudson River in New York. It still stands, and it still has the inscription on it. Give us your tired, your hungry, your downtrodden masses. Give us. It's still standing there. It's still calling out to migrants and the poor around the world. Maybe we better cover it up so they don't see it. Because they're still answering the call, it seems, at the southern border. But there's also people from the islands, Haitians, others, Jamaicans, Haitians. There's a lot of people who try to make it here, who try to get to the United States for hopefully for a better life than they have where they are. And so, it ain't your fault. Ain't nothing you did. The borders became porous through corporations. The holes in our border where people coming across were established a long time ago by businesses and corporations. You see, businesses was international before you were. You were thinking about your town, your city, your state. Corporations was thinking about Mexico, Nicaragua, and the rest of the Western Hemisphere in the early times. And now it's international. Now it's all over the world. Now Microsoft is in China. American companies are all Indonesia. Yeah. They take all that labor-intensive work to the cheapest labor possible that they can get. and an Indonesian will work less than you. So they get the job. You don't. So it ain't your job they're taking. Because the guy who owns the job will take it from you in a New York second and give it to a migrant who will say, I work for less. And I'm going to ask for any benefits because I might get caught here and I'm here illegally. So just don't tell anybody. And I work my butt off for less money than someone who lives here. And the corporation say, yeah, I'll take that. I have the history of having done labor organizing in my young years. And I organized, and just so happened, it was in Southern California. Happens that most of the members in these labor organizations that I helped to work, that I worked with, were Hispanic and Spanish speaking for the most part. Some of them were legal. Some of them were here illegally. Some of them came here with a work permit. They were actually given a permit by this country to come here and work for them low wages, because them low wages are nice. That means you keep a lot of profit if you're a business. So it wasn't uncommon. Orchards and the cabbages and the fields and fields of fruits and vegetables here in California. People west of the Mississippi get their fruits and vegetables from this, from the state of California. Imperial Valley, Sacramento Valley, all these fertile valleys up and down California. Orchards of all kinds, fruits, vegetables, pears, apples, dates, you name it. But guess who picked those dates and pears and whatnot, and peaches and pears and all that good stuff, and melons and stuff? Usually migrant labor, cheapest labor possible. Oh, yeah, there are people out of work in the neighborhood. There are people who may not want to do that work. I don't know. But they do get migrants in here to do it. The federal government will give them a work permit to come here and help corporations make that money. But when that work permit expires, maybe it's for 2 years, when it expires, that worker is supposed to either re-up and get a new green card, they call them green cards, or leave the country. Some don't. Some have been here long enough to establish their family, friends, neighbors. They don't. Then they're called illegal. So they came here legally, but now because their permits have run out, they're illegal because they haven't left yet. Right? However, they've been working. And that's what's important to the corporations that bring them here. I told you the Bracero program meant going to get Mexicans and bring them here on purpose. The Statue of Liberty was to call them here on purpose. So there was a time we opened our doors to immigrants, not me and you. It ain't our fault. Corporations motivated that immigration. Because they needed workers, and immigrants were often poor, so they would work for chump change. And you'd make excellent profits because you didn't have to pay the workers much of anything. The ultimate of that was slavery, and so this country is very familiar with cheap, inexpensive labor boosting profits. That's how you get millionaires, billionaires. They got your money. Owed to you. Should have been. Anyway, immigrants were brought here on purpose. Now we're telling them, don't come, don't come. Now we're sending troops down there to stop them from coming. But they were brought here on purpose by corporations, not by you, by corporations to get that cheap labor. And they convinced governments to let them issue work permits. When people in this country needed work, they could get that cheap labor they preferred, and so they would issue work permits. Corporations go to the federal government to this day. There's something called an H-1 visa. The H-1 visa is to allow immigrants. The H-1 visa actually says it's like that situation in World War II where all the men were over there working and we needed labor, and so we went and got Mexicans, brought them here, immigrants, and brought them here. Well, it's the same thing. Immigrants, we needed that labor. We had a labor shortage. We brought them here. And so, however, those laws are still on the books. The H-1 law specifically says that if there can't be work found, if there can't be expertise or whatever found in this country, they want to allow you to go to another country. But that expertise does exist in this country. But there are still companies that get away with using the H-1 law to bring migrants in. Because they work cheap, guys. And that's what it's all about, eh? Cheap labor. And that's how you make profits. Somebody helps you create value. When you turn that value into money, you give as less as possible to the people who help you create it. And you can become a millionaire that way, or billionaire. At extreme, slavery. At its less extreme, low wages, no benefits. That's what a migrant offers. Migrant doesn't have any benefits. Migrant don't get any Social Security, matching Social Security on his check, or none of that. Uh-uh. A migrant ain't even scared to go to the hospital if he hurt himself on the job, because they might find out he's a migrant and deport him or her. So working in California, guys, I'm going to let you guess. I already told you who picked the melons and potatoes and tomatoes for your salad. For the most part, it's immigrant labor. You didn't bring them here. You didn't make that happen. Corporations made that happen. It ain't your fault that they're here. It ain't your fault that they're coming. They found out they can come. And was a time when we went and got them. And so now they're coming and we tell them, oh, no, you can't come. You got it. And so, and Americans, us, who don't even control these borders, who didn't start this mess in the first place in pursuit of cheap labor, we're left to argue they're going to take our jobs. Well, it ain't your job. The job belongs to the company, and they'll take it from you and give it to whoever they want to give it. They'll close a whole department and move it to Mexico if they want to. So before you call it your job, I got news for you. It ain't your job. It's the man's job, and he'll give it to whoever will bring him the greatest profits, him or her. And that's the way the world works. So I want you to think about that. Immigration is not as simple as legal and illegal coming into my house and I got borders and all that. No, those borders could be saved, could be integrity. They could have some integrity, but that integrity was busted a long time ago. You didn't do it. Corporations did it. They've been crossing that border back and forth. They've been pulling labor from across that border back and forth. They've been going back and forth across that border to pull resources from these other countries to bring them here since Dole Pineapple, since Chiquita Bananas. Those countries oftentimes are the same countries that we've exploited for 100 years for their resources. Central and South America, guys. Yeah, your bananas, all that stuff. Dole Pineapple, Castle and Cook. Look it up. CCI. The Dulles brothers. Atchison Dulles. His brother ran a pineapple factory or something down in Central America. Cheap labor, brought all that cheap pineapple back here, made a fortune. Bananas, fortune. The people there, nothing. And so when you literally rip off the resources of these little countries so that Americans can have bananas and pineapples and the like, and then when them poor people down there can't make a living and they start coming to the country that is exploiting them, you tell them, oh, no, don't come here. Or you bring them here for their labor. And after you're through with their labor, you remind them, oh, no, all we wanted was your labor. We didn't want you. Get back across the border. Don't stick around. We just wanted to extract your labor power. Now you can go on back home. We can use you. But don't stick around. And so you didn't start this stuff. Corporation has been working that border long before you came along. When I was working in Southern California, I saw fields and fields of workers, orchards, fields with immigrant workers, people who couldn't even speak the language for the most part. They spoke Spanish. While you were saying, close our borders, there was farmers up and down California who were bringing them in. Legal or illegal, that didn't make them any difference. They needed somebody to work the fields. And these guys who work the fields, these men and women, will work those fields for chump change. It wasn't your fault. Corporations have been breaking that border rule forever. And they broke it to go down there and get those resources in those other countries. One of the resources they used to get is people, labor, braceros, immigrants, labor, cheap, inexpensive labor. That means high profits, if you didn't know. Always translates into high profit. Free labor, cheap labor, always transfer into high profits. Because they create value. And when you get your money for that value, you don't share it, or you share as little as possible with the people that help you create something valuable. And you can become a millionaire, a billionaire, a plantation owner. Now, they're not going to keep up a fuss because they're here illegally. You got that? You don't think a business knows that? Listen, when I was down there organizing, I saw instances where on payday, after you done worked all week, picked the crop, loaded up on trucks, melons, onions, all that good stuff up and down through California. When you done worked that crop and it's time to get your paycheck and everybody's lining up to get their paycheck, I've seen farmers call the immigration department while they were all lined up there waiting on their checks. Somebody slipped and called the immigration department, ICE. And when ICE shows up, boy, if you ain't legal, you better run. Because you're going to get kicked back over to Mexico with no money. Because you didn't make it up front in the line. You're still in line waiting on your check. And here come the immigration department. Somebody called them. Guess who? And everybody who runs off, of course, the farmer don't have to pay for their work all week. All season. And so, yeah, I've seen immigration called on workers on payday. While they was lined up trying to get their check, the immigration pulled up, ICE pulled up, and some of them had to get the hat. Some of them had to run. Some of them had to book. Some of them had to get on up out of there, getting them win, because they would have got caught and arrested and put in a detention camp. And eventually deported. And they done worked all week, not a dime in their pocket. But the farmer made out the band because there's one more person he don't have to pay. He knew the guy was illegal when the guy came on the job. These are things I've seen. So corporations been working the border forever, guys. Not you. You said our borders need integrity. We need a wall. We need to keep people out. At the same time, corporations are going, well, wait a minute. I need about 100 workers to pick these fruits. And I don't want to pay an American to do it. I got to give them benefits and wages and all that good stuff. Don't take my migrants away, my cheap labor away. And so they cut deals with the government to get that H-1B program where they can legally bring in migrants. They issue work permits that run out after a certain time so they can legally bring in cheap labor, and then some of them just look the other way. If the guy's illegal, he don't want to know about it. And they used to, and there has been instances where farmers were fined for hiring illegals. But it's rare, guys. It's rare because it's so ubiquitous. I ain't just talking about farm workers. Man, who do you think clean the houses in Hollywood Hills in California, Oceanside, and Santa Barbara, and these nice neighborhoods, rich neighborhoods, Bel Air, Beverly Hills, washing them dishes? Who washing those clothes? Who looking after those kids? Who taking care of that? Who gardening? Who taking care of that beautiful yard? The people who live there? Hell no. Nah. 9 times out of 10, it's an immigrant. 9 times out of 10, it's an immigrant. And half the time, that immigrant is not even legal, pure legally. They might have come in on a work permit and stayed over after the permit expired. The person's house they clean up could care less. It's cheap labor. But there's a law out there, so they have to watch out about hiring illegals because sometimes they get busted, sometimes, for hiring illegal aliens. Why they keep hiring illegal aliens? Cheap labor. How are we going to address this situation is why I started this conversation tonight. I wanted to get it away from our personal view of immigration, like I gave you, like my house. I got a front door. I require people to come that way. If I catch people sneaking through the windows, that's going to be trouble. But I wish it was that simple. But it's not. You have to respect the border. It's just you. They have to deal. It's just the working people. It's just the people, working folks on both sides of the border has to deal with the border. Oh, they're coming over here to take our job. Oh, we're going over there to get a job. It's the working people that's going back and forth, worried about borders and immigration. You think corporations, the people who started this mess, who built the Statue of Liberty and asked for immigrants, who used to go over and get Mexicans and bring them over here purposely to work? You think they are concerned as you are about this cheap labor coming in here? You know, we live in a capitalist society, and in a capitalist society, there's a dynamic. That dynamic says that a scarcity, something that's scarce, including labor, workers, something that's scarce costs more, like diamonds, supposedly. Diamonds are not scarce, but they tell you they are. They're rare, you know, but they're not. But if it's rare, if it's hard to find, you pay more. If it's abundant and it's all over the place, you pay less. So scarcity makes things dearer to you. Abundance doesn't. It cheapens it. So if I was a corporation and I wanted to lower wages, and I had this expensive labor because there ain't enough labor to go around, I'd bring in excess labor. All of a sudden, there's a whole lot of people looking for work. I can lower the wages and still get workers. Because when the labor market is flooded with people looking for work, the price of labor goes down. It's a capitalist dynamic. Abundance leads to cheap. It's cheaper. Barato. If it's rare and hard to come by, it's more expensive. And so when labor gets rare and hard to come by, they open up the borders. They call on immigrants. And they flood the labor force. And wages go down with the flood. It's just the dynamic, guys. It ain't your fault. It's how things go down here. Given that borders weren't determined by you, and they're not maintained by you, and their porousness, who goes back and forth, is not determined by you. Never has been. It ain't your fault when immigrants are here or not here. Wherever there's a need, it's going to be filled, right? Cheap labor has always been a need in this country. It works. And if a migrant will work for cheap, they're going to get in here. And ain't nothing you can do about it. There are people who go down and say, well, I'll volunteer. I'm a patriot. I'll volunteer to go patrol the border. Nobody wants you down there. They got this. They've always had the border. Corporations, businesses. I told you. Dole pineapple, Chiquita banana, Hawaiian sugar, crossing borders and going into other people's country, grabbing resources to bring them back to the United States for sale or profit, for fun and profit, it has been the way. And once these countries get depleted, when a bunch of them start coming this way saying, I'm going to where all of our resources went, America, we get upset as Americans. But we didn't start this mess. Just like Great Britain, the British Empire had colonies all over Africa and Asia, India, and the United States. And 13 colonies would belong to Great Britain. Now, if you go to England today, anywhere in the UK today, you're going to see people from those African countries in the UK. And there are skinheads and nationalists, true British flag, John Bull, Brits. I guess that's the difference between being English and being British. So there's these British who don't want all these dirty immigrants in their country. Well, look at the immigrant, and I'll tell you, find out where the immigrant came from, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a country that was colonized at one time by Great Britain. Funny, the people you colonized, the resources that you drew from their nation and brought to yours, included people. And now that their nation is bereft of resources, don't be surprised if they're using those same channels that businesses use to ferry resources in and out over the ocean, across the land, railways. They're using those same railways to get into England, their former colonial master's house. England, having exploited these countries, got the nerve to be upset. Well, some of the skinheads, some of the nationalists have the nerve to be upset that these immigrants are coming into their country. When there was a time, you were down in theirs. And you would have called the military if they had put you out or attempted to put you out of their country. Independence movements were often fought militarily, when these countries no longer wanted to be colonies of England. When their resources were being ripped out and moved to England, their gold, their diamonds, their palm oil, everything is being taken for the benefit of the English, of course, their colonial masters. And like the United States, the 13 colonies, one day everybody decided we don't want to be colonies anymore. And so the United States had a revolution. Remember, guys? We went from a colony to an independence movement that established these United States. We had to fight a war with our colonial masters. Now, that's very interesting because that we found ourselves in Africa supporting colonial masters against independence movements. How could we have the nerve? We fought a war not to be 13 colonies of England. We fought a war called the Revolutionary American Revolution to be independent of a colonial master. And yet, when Patrice Lumumba, yet when Asia, Africa, and Latin America stood up and said, we want independence, instead of us coming to their aid and saying, okay, well, just like us, we understand. We fought for our independence from a king, from a colonial master, England. We understand that you want your freedom too. So we'll support you in your independence struggle. Did we do that? No. We found ourselves on the side of the colonial masters in almost every independence struggle in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. I want you to chew on that. And when we come back, we need to talk about where we go forward with this issue of immigration. I'll be right back, guys. I've heard this thing about open borders. Who asked for open borders? Well, when we get back, let's talk about it. Should we even have borders? And you're listening to Revolutionary Life, where we deal with issues that affect our lives every day, but we go at them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change, guys. Revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. Change is going to happen anyway. Anybody trying to hold back change is called a reactionary. Because you can't really do that for long. Change is going to happen. Revolutionary knows that. They just want to be on the cutting edge. If you're in the front of change, you might have something to say about what it looks like when it occurs. If you're not, you're a victim. Welcome to Revolutionary Life, and tonight we're talking about immigration. We're talking about people coming into this country, walking across our borders, legally, illegally. They're coming in, taking our jobs, you say. Our jobs. Our jobs. I told you, the job don't belong to you. It belongs to the company, and they'll take it from you and give it to anybody they please. They'll close your department down and move it to Mexico if they want to. Your job. And so, we're getting close to our call-in section. I will announce that section in just a few and put my chat room together and give out the call-in number. So y'all hold tight. One more thing. How do we address this situation? How should we, as individuals, look at a situation that we don't control, that's forever been controlled by business, not you and me, not working folks, especially people who sell their labor, mental and physical, for money. Now, there's a very interesting thing happening in the world today, and perhaps we could learn from it. There's always been borders, guys. States had borders. There used to be a time if the police was after you in one state, you could get across the state line and they'd have to turn around and go back. Back in the old days. That doesn't work no more. Because them borders were broken down by law enforcement such that they could come after you. U.S. Marshals, things like that can come after you no matter where you at in these United States. And the federal government can probably track you outside the United States. And the federal government has extradition treaties with other countries. So even if you go to other countries, they have cut treaties with the United States that says if a criminal comes down there, somebody they're after comes down there, they can be extradited back to America for trial. Prosecution. So you can't run and you sure can't hide. They got something called Interpol. That's an abbreviation for international police. Law enforcement breaking borders, international police. Corporations are breaking borders, moving factories to Mexico, Indonesia, China. American companies don't care about borders. You are the only one hampered. You are the only one bent out of shape about borders. Corporations have been thinking international while you've been thinking my street, my neighborhood. I can't find a job in my neighborhood. I can't find a job in my city or my state or whatever. Your world is a lot smaller, guys, so that's why you're having a lot more issues. And you don't control nothing about the borders, who comes and goes, really. And so that's why you have these issues, but it ain't your fault. But I told you, when business goes across the border and bring back resources from another nation, often through exploitation, through history shows of that workforce and that land and resources in that country. Sometimes the people follow those resources back to the mother country. Sometimes the people are the resource, as in the slave trade. Sometimes the people are the resource, or the immigration trade, Statue of Liberty, send us your tired, your huddled masses. Sometimes immigration, the Bracero program, bringing foreign labor here, sometimes immigration is the goal. You didn't decide that. You don't decide when immigration is, when the door opens and when it closes. You don't decide who gets over here and who doesn't. You just have to deal with it when they get here. And how you deal with it is how you deal with it. But let's talk about what nations, let's talk about the future. What's going on in the world? Well, when states had borders that you could cross and the police would have to turn around and go back once you crossed the border, that was resolved because that was unfeasible. Thomas Jefferson, who was assigned to be hanged in Virginia, mainly because of his refusal to fight the British when they tried to come in to Virginia, but also because he stole a lot of resources and money and supplies and stuff from the building of Monticello. You should look that up. He couldn't go back to Virginia or they would have hung him. It was after him. But he could cross the border into another state and they couldn't mess with him. That, them days are gone, guys, because it was unworkable. Commerce. It used to be if you crossed over into Georgia, which has all these nice Georgia peaches, Peach Street, that's not Georgia peach, is well known. But if you crossed into Georgia with some peaches from your place, you have to pay Georgia taxes just to bring your fruit, your freight through. They passed an Interstate Commerce Act that you can't put taxes and you can't stop interstate commerce, the free flow of interstate commerce, and heavy taxing state to state, causing you to have to pay this state, then I got to go through that state, I got to pay that state. That became unworkable. And so the country passed a trade law where you cannot interfere with international trade, not even with taxing, which slowed up international trade from state to state. So the Interstate Commerce Act was passed to break those borders economically, financially, business-wise, to make business flow better. It wasn't your fault. You didn't make that decision. Borders have been being broken internally. And now they're being broken externally. Have everybody heard of the European Union? Europe and many other countries in Europe have now put together, organized their borders of their different countries under a heading called the European Union. When you can move easily across these borders within the European Union, if you're a member of these European countries, you can move from Italy to France to Germany without border problems. And I don't mean corporations. They've been doing it forever. They were international before you was, remember. You were locked within your state. If you couldn't find work in your city and in your state, you were out of luck. Corporations looking for workers could go out of the country. Or bring workers. I told you about that H-1 visa program. They can bring workers from other countries here to work. That's the options. You don't have very many, but it ain't your fault. If an American corporation says, I'm going to hire an American first, I don't care how much cheap labor there is out there from immigrants, legal and illegal. I'm going to hire American first. If I can't find an American who can do this job, then I will lobby to have an immigrant come and do the job or someone. And so they don't do that, guys. A businessman told me, listen, labor is not competitive in this country. Y'all want too much. And other countries have more competitive labor costs. What he meant by that was that a Mexican says, you're going to work for $10 an hour, I'll work for $9. And you got to say, to be competitive, I'll work for $8.50. And they're going to say, to be competitive, I'll work for $7.50. And then you're going to say, to be competitive, I'll work for $6.50. And then they're going to say, to be competitive, it's a race to the bottom for you. But when you get to the bottom, the corporation is going to be happy. He's going to be able to pay the less to the person who will take the less. Pretty soon, an American will say, I ain't going to work for that kind of money. It costs me that much money just to go back and forth to work every day. Gasoline, lunch money. And clean clothes. Work clothes. And so an American might not take that job, but an immigrant might. So it ain't your job. It's the corporation's job, and they'll give it to the lowest payer. And they told me labor has to be competitive. You got to compete with them lower paid workers in Indonesia. Or we're going to move our factory. So how much do they work for? Well, instead of $14 an hour, they make $14 a day. Can you beat that? And if you can't, we move into Indonesia. We move into Mexico. And so it's a race to the bottom for me and you. In their opinion, who can take less? Who can attract businesses by saying, you can work us for nothing? You see, I told you in the last in the presentation, a couple of presentations I did on the minimum wage, I live in a southern state, and it never had a state minimum wage. It never told a corporation, by law, you can't pay less than blah. They didn't care what a corporation paid you. If I ever got a minimum wage, it was a federal mandated minimum wage. It was under federal law that a corporation had to pay me the federal minimum wage. There was no state minimum wage. Most of the states in the United States has one, but there's quite a few. There's about seven southern states, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, that never had a state minimum wage. They never made a law. They never told a corporation, you can't pay my people less than it takes to live by law. They wouldn't dare do that to a corporation. They let them pay whatever they like if they could get away with it. So I got a minimum wage, but it was a federal one, inadequate for the local area. And so corporations did this. Now nations have come together and literally dissolved their borders into a larger border, I guess you might say, the European Union. All of these nations have come together on something called the European Union, and they got a currency called a euro that you can use in all of these European countries and outside those European countries. This is what's happening to borders. I need you guys to wake up, because corporations have been international for a long time, colonizing and the like, conquering and the like, cross borders, exploitation of cross borders. You're the one that's slow. You're the one that's stuck on what's available in your immediate environment. You're the one that doesn't have the wherewithal, the flexibility, the options to work for an international company and make more money versus looking for a job in your neighborhood. So you have the limited choices. You have the limited options. It does hurt you. But corporations have been walking across borders forever. Alexander the Great is famous for conquering the known world. Tell me he didn't cross some borders on behalf of Greece, Macedonian. Caesar and the Roman army conquered most of Europe. They crossed some borders, didn't they? That's internationalism. It wasn't the people who crossed those borders. It was the armies who crossed those borders. to take land and resources on behalf of their mother country. Yeah. Raw Dutch shale. Cross borders to get the oil out of the Congo. Corporations have been international for a long time. What about you? You worried about immigrants. You can't speak their language. You don't like to go in their stores when they're speaking to each other in their language because they could be talking about you. So that's suspicious. All that mess. Because your world is so small and you don't look up and see what the people you go to look for jobs from, that the economic world has already gone international, been international. You're the one that's stuck locally. With the advent of the internet and things like that, you're not really. It's time for you to wake up and realize you can be international too. And until and unless you are, you're worried about, is there any jobs in my neighborhood, in my city? Your world is kind of small. But it doesn't have to be. We got the internet, guys. Your world is kind of small, but you don't have to be. You can be like these corporations and be international. Now, European Union is just a bunch of nations that used to have their own borders. Now, within, if you're a member, anybody from any of the member countries can go back and forth across that border like they were at home. Through commerce, trucking and whatnot, but visiting, living. That's the future, guys. Organization has always been the future. It's the future of mankind. It's the future of life on Earth. Single cells became multicellular animals. Organization is how life works for survival, to move forward. There are nations that are organizing. They're not worried about their little borders anymore. They know better. They know corporations done beat them at it. And as long as you stay home, the corporations can have a field day around the world. But Africa, if you'll see some of the slides that go on, if you're listening to the show and you see the pictures I have up, you'll notice there's something called the African Union. These are all independent nations with their independent borders, but it's become unworkable for commerce, for people, for labor, as well as capital. Except capital can work it out. They got enough money to buy their way into your country and out. But you didn't have that ability. Now in Europe, you can go to work anywhere you want in Europe. And there's trains and whatnot that can take you to work in Italy this morning, and you can be back home in Greece tomorrow in the morning. Nobody's going to come and get you as an immigrant because you crossed the border from one country into the next. You're not illegal, because as long as the countries are within that union, you can go into all of them and be welcome. Work there, live there. African Union, European Union, that's the future, guys. The future is not your little neighborhood or your little home. The future is organization. Life on Earth follows that exact program. Advanced life is multicellular. You can be a single cell animal still, if you like, but advance requires organization, coming together. Now, America, we haven't formed any kind of union with the borders, with the countries that border us. We're still fighting for our border. We're still talking about the integrity of our border. That I told you, lost its integrity a long time ago. Corporations have been chewing up that border back and forth for hundreds of years. How do you think we got Texas we walked into Texas. You remember David Crockett? You remember Daniel Boone? I mean, you remember David Boy, you remember Jim Boy and the Boy Knife? You know, all these guys went over to Texas and decided to set up shop. Santana and the Mexican army came up and told them that they had to go. And now you all remember the Alamo. Yeah, we've been crossing borders for a long time financially. You haven't. You held back. Your world is smaller than this. Well, it's time to get involved, guys. It may be time to go international, folks. If we are bordered to Canada and we are bordered by Mexico, we can fight for the integrity of our borders. Or we could join these nations together. You don't hear me. I told you I worked in Southern California. It didn't take long for me to realize that California, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas was all Mexico at one time. We don't want these Mexicans coming here. The hell, the place used to be Mexican. That's me and your problem. That's the kind of stuff me and you say. Corporations have been bringing them in here for the longest. They've been working that border when you couldn't for their benefit and hoping you stay right here and complain and don't come over there where they at. Because they're exploiting those workers over there. You come over there, you're going to see that exploitation and say, hey, y'all ain't got to do this. We get paid this kind of money where I come from. That influence they don't need down in Indonesia. So they're glad you stay here with your unions and whatnot. So they can go to a country that has no unions, has no organized labor, where people are scuffling and barely surviving and work for chump change. You get over there, you're trying to change people's minds. So good, you stay here. You keep your little small world right here while corporations exploit the world. They're not held back by borders, you are. Time for change. And history shows us that breaking borders, amalgamating, coming together of border countries, is the future. Organization is the future. Look at life on Earth. Single cells to the most advanced people are the people with the multicellular beings. Organization has always been the progress forward. We've come to the point where our borders are unworkable. States came to that point and the federal government broke those borders to allow commerce, interstate commerce, here in this country. Law enforcement broke those borders because criminals could cross the border and be safe. Everybody broke those borders except me and you. Our world is kind of small, but there's a big world out there, guys. And it's affecting your life every day. And all you're left to do is say, they're coming over here taking our jobs. I hate these immigrants. But it ain't their fault and it ain't yours. Their country has been raped for 100 years to make this one what it is today. Dole pineapple, Chiquita bananas. You probably didn't even know all that was going on. You just went to the store and got you some banana. You didn't know where they came from. Didn't care. And so they like that. They like for you to stay in your little small world. Don't come over there messing with them because they're international. They're all over the place. Borders. Borders. There are no borders. There are no countries. I wish I had this video that I could send you guys. I was watching this movie back in the day called Network. I want you to watch that movie. It's called Network. And this guy's complaining about immigrants and complaining about borders. And he gets called into a conference room. And the head man comes down. Head man of the corporation, CEO, comes down to meet with him. because he's getting a lot of ears out there talking to people on TV about the problems of immigration and whatnot. And the head man sits him down at a table, cuts the light down real low and shine one of the lamps in his face and tell him there are no countries. The head of this big corporation brought this fellow in and sit him down and said, "Mister, there are no countries. There are no flags. There are no nations. There's only dollars and shekels and rubles and lira and pounds. That the world is an amalgamation of corporations." He explains to this guy what the world looks like out there, as opposed to what he's talking about. Man, it blows your mind, because he's got all this support on TV talking about these problems, because he's sure that these problems are hurting working people and we need to be dealt with, aren't they? Mm-mm. Corporation called his butt into the office and gave him the rules. The rules are there are no countries. There are no flags. There's just dollars, shekels, and rubles, and lira, and pounds, and euros. That the world is just an amalgamation of corporations. So what do you think the Russians do? Sit around and read V.I. Lenin and Karl Marx? No, they look at their tally sheets. They look at their cost-benefit analysis and their economic analysis and risk-averse analysis in their economic books and business. We're the ones that's slow. The rest of the world is moving on. Borders or no borders. That's my spiel. We're going into our call-in section, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to, when I come right back, I'll have that call-in number for you. Also, I'm going to be opening up my chat room. Those of you who'd like to comment on this issue of immigration, please feel free to come into my chat room and type something in the chat, opinion, your ideas, whatever. And if you want to come on the air, you're coming, give me a call. You're coming straight on the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. And everybody we'll hear my response. So when I come back, guys, it's call in section time, and I'll be right back.
Paul. Let's go. Allez, vas-y, calme.
We're at our call-in section. Our call-in number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. Call me and you on the air. We're talking about immigration tonight. Not Irish. Not Italian. Not Chinese. No little Italy's. No Chinatowns. No little Saigons, no Japan towns. It seems the target now is the Hispanic. Mexicans, Nicaraguans, Hondurans, Central Americans, South Americans. I told you, corporations have been international before you were. They're way ahead of you on the border and how to deal with immigrants. They got their own plan, whether you like it or not, whether it takes your job or not, your job. They've always had their own plan. It's just you who didn't. Your fault. Well, I told you I used to organize in Southern California. Farm workers, most of them were Hispanic farm workers, came up here to work in the fields of California. Came up here to clean the houses of the rich in California, wash their clothes, take out their clothes, wash their dishes, look after their kids, cut their lawns. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You talking about immigrants coming here. I got news for you. They've been coming here a long time, and we've been bringing them here. This country has been bringing them here. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9, and we take on a number of subjects, and we look at them from a revolutionary point of view. We think it's a time in the world. We think the world is waking us up that we all international. After corporations are international, your problem is you are not. And I guess they like it that way. They prefer for you to stay here and out of their international business because they're getting paid working these people and taking their resources, their labor. Cheap. You might come out there and mess things up. You don't look for jobs internationally. They look for workers internationally. You're the one that's late to the international game. I told you, when it becomes unworkable, they break borders. When the states had borders where outlaws could get across, the police broke borders. Now you can't go to a different state and be safe if you're wanted in another state. You can't even go to a different country. They got something called the international police, guys, Interpol. So they're breaking borders on law enforcement. We have the Interstate Commerce Act. That broke all the state borders for the travel of interstate business and commerce, free flow of commerce. They break the borders when they get ready. It's you that have to deal with the consequences. So don't let them play borders with you. There are none. I told you. If you ever get a chance to watch this old movie called Network, you will see that the guy who's on TV screaming about the borders and got all the support from the community gets called into a boardroom and told there are no borders. There are no states. There are no flags. There's just shekels and lira and dollars, and pounds, and euros, and corporations. They know that. You don't. That's all. It's time for the working people to wake up and realize we can be just as international. With the internet and mass transit and stuff, we can be just as international as a corporation can. Until we have that flexibility, we stuck. They'll close our department down and move it to Mexico for cheaper labor. And so we put that on the agenda today, because a lot of people are concerned about immigration, but you're late to the game. What's really going on in the world is consolidation. The European Union, all the nations breaking their borders within that union to let working people travel all over Europe to work, anywhere they need to work and to live, unfettered by a border. The African Union, where countries are coming together and say, this border don't make sense. They probably didn't draw it themselves, by the way. Some nation or corporation or colonial government may have drawn them, those borders. In our country, the possibility of amalgamating, of coming together, of being a multicellular versus a single cellular animal, that's called advanced in nature. Higher forms of life are multicellular, not single cell animals. And so naturally, the world is coming together around you. Corporations know it. They had a lot to do with it. The same railroads, the same highways that carried products from Nicaragua, Honduras, Mexico, and brought those products to the United States, who procured those resources down there and brought them here, those same roads and those same highways and byways are now bringing people from those countries here. You didn't do it. It wasn't your fault. You didn't bereft those countries' resources. All you went to do is go into the store and buy you some pineapples and bananas and stuff. You didn't know they were exploiting workers in these poor countries. You didn't know that they was taking these poor countries' resources and exporting them out to the United States, and what that left, conditions that left in these countries. You didn't know that they were deciding who was going to be president, because the president would allow corporations to continue to exploit, and some presidents wouldn't. And so corporations got involved in who was going to run Honduras, who was going to run Nicaragua, who was going to run Cuba. We decided on who was going to run those little countries, because we needed somebody who's going to let corporations continue to exploit them for their resources. Now they're well exploited, and they're coming here. You reap what you sow. You ever heard the chickens always come home to roost? Texas used to be Mexico. New Mexico used to be Mexico. California used to be Arizona, used to be Colorado, used to be Nevada, used to be Mexico. Chickens are coming home to roost. It's a little too late to build a wall. That ain't where the world is going. The European Union, the African Union, borders are being broken. The whole earth is going to be coming together, guys. You're late to the game if you're not international, too. That's revolutionary. Reach out. They told me, when I was an organizer, guys, they told me that you couldn't organize black people in a union alongside Mexicans. Just wouldn't work. They don't like each other. That was a lie. I proved that to be a lie myself. And organizing in a Hispanic community that was poor, but because it was in America, there was black communities that were poor in those same Hispanic communities. And they were doing the same kind of work. Migrant workers coming up from Florida, working in New York and Long Island, picking potatoes. And then they go up to up north, or farther up north, up in New Hampshire and all those places, and pick apples. And then they go back home to Florida. They were called migrant workers. They were cheap labor. It ain't the migrants. It ain't the migrants. It never have been the migrants. It's always been corporations that made the move forward. You didn't. I'll be right back. Just a little bit. And so I keep my lines open this time of night, just in case someone has some comments or questions about immigration, also some suggestions about immigration or whatever. But immigration, guys, is an old, old issue. Statue of Liberty. Immigration is an old issue. And the choice of who immigrates and who doesn't, what flows across and who flows across that border has never been up to you. Businesses have been going across that border forever. And now them same bridges and roads they built to carry people's resources from other countries into this one, Mexico, Central and South America, those same bridges and roads are being used by the people who are coming here seeking a better life. Maybe they would have had one if we hadn't taken their land. If bananas and pineapples and all that good stuff, these banana republics we used to call them, if we hadn't have exploited them in their labor, maybe they'd have enough to where they wouldn't have to come to America. But they don't. Great Britain got some skinheads running around in England who don't want immigrants in England. After England then colonized Asia, Africa, and Latin America, countries all over the world, including this country, we were 13 colonies of Great Britain, by the way, and fought for our independence. And then disingenuously, we fought against others fighting for colonies, fighting for their independence. See the Congo, see Cuba, see Nicaragua, see places where people have been fighting from their independence, see the Philippines, see countries where people are fighting for their independence from their colonial masters, And we ended up lining up on the side of the colonial masters, even though we had to fight a war for our own independence from a colonial master. We were English colonies, guys, and we'd still be if we hadn't fought for our independence. Anyway, England, they got some people running around talking about immigrants after you've exploited all of these countries. And now the people you've exploited are showing up on your doorstep. And you're going, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. We wanted your resources. We wanted your labor. But we didn't want you. You can go back. We just want your labor. We just want your country's resources. We don't want you. What's the solution, guys? Well, the world is showing us the solution. Nature shows us the solution. The solution is all around us. It's time to break the borders. They're unworkable. It's time for nations and peoples to come together. We've always been saying we all need to come together. It's time for globalism. It's time for me to work wherever I want to work. If a corporation can take jobs wherever it wants to take them, I can take my labor to wherever I can sell it the best. I need that flexibility, too. With the internet, transportation and things, that flexibility has become more and more possible. All we need to do is break down these borders for working people. Corporations have already cleared that issue. They got politicians that will let them run immigrants back and forth all day long to take your job. Until we become international too, we're going to be behind the eight ball. We're going to be left, working folks are going to be left behind the eight ball. If you're just looking for a job in your town, in your state, then yeah, your world is kind of small. The people who hire are looking all over the world for the best deal. And they got the flexibility, and the government gives them the ability to cross any borders and protect them. And their merchandise. So I organized blacks and Mexicans when they told me I couldn't, because I realized the same thing. They all need food, clothing, and shelter. They're all fighting to survive. And when they learn that to not say, this is my job, they're taking my jobs. They're taking our jobs. When they woke up to the fact that it wasn't their job, the job belonged to the corporation. And they'll take it from you and give it to anybody they want. They got that right. You don't. And so, it's time for us to get international, guys. Wake up. The world's on fire. And you're either a fireman or you're running around making an ash out of yourself. This is my call in session. Thank you. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're here discussing issues that affect our lives every day. Today we're discussing immigration from a working folk point of view. That is to say, if you sell your labor for money, this should be of concern to you. Or if you're trying to run a small business in a community where everybody sells their labor for money, this should be of concern to you. Labor has failed to go international. Corporations been there, done that. The world is breaking borders. You're the only one trying to hold on to them. Maybe it's because you don't know any better. Maybe because you think that it's not going to benefit you. For whatever reason, your world is much smaller than what's going on around you. And if you're going to catch up, guys, we got to catch up. If capital can go international, so can labor. And if it doesn't, it's stuck. And the world will pass you by as a working person. Because I told you, businessman told me that our labor is not competitive with other workers. If we want $10, $15 an hour, but they can get a migrant to do it for $5, it ain't your job. It's their job, and they'll take it from you and give it to whoever they please. And usually it's the person who would bid the lowest for that job. It ain't your fault. You ain't running nothing but your own life. And if you want that to be a revolutionary life, you're going to do like corporations have done. You're going to have to go statewide. You're going to have to go federal. And then you're going to have to go international. And you're going to have to demand resources to do so. Transportation. No border crossing issues, no state crossing issues, no country crossing issues. Globalization is happening around you. The world is being consolidated and globalized, except I'm not under your control. Nothing you have anything to do about. But if you're revolutionary, you want to be on the vanguard of change. So when you see that change of globalization coming, when you see international borders being already broken by commerce, it's time for you to get on top of that change. You need to go international. I teach a foreign language. Do you know that there are people who are learning foreign languages to get a better job, to go to foreign countries? They're not going to be held back by whether they can find a job in their town or their state. That's you. The world is globalizing. The world is going international. You can't close the doors and shut the windows enough to keep that stuff from seeping into your house. So rather than close the doors and open the windows, you got to build a different kind of house. You got to build one that's a bed and breakfast, that's a Airbnb, where you can stay there for a while and then move on if you have to. But you need that flexibility because corporations have it. Capital has it. What about labor? Are you stuck? Are you dependent on what's going on locally? Then you ain't a revolutionary. You ain't on the vanguard of this big change that's going down. You're going to get left behind. Progress is consolidation. It's biology. Single-celled animals are not the higher forms of life. Multicellular animals that have organized their cells together are the higher forms of life. The world is organizing itself together. European Union, African Union, they're breaking borders, guys, because they don't work anymore. Ready to move forward? Ready to be progressive? Let's start consolidating working people and their countries together. Ease at which we can move back and forth across borders are not going to be it's not going to make an issue of jobs in your neighborhood. You're going to have job opportunities, not just in your neighborhood, but across the border, if you like. If they can come here to work, you know you can go there to work to ply your trade. If they can come here and work and send money down there, you can go down there and work and send money back here. Oh, they're hiring all over the world. But you don't look that far, even though you got the internet, even you got international transportation. You got passports to worry about. You got borders to worry about. It's become unworkable. And every time in history when borders have become unworkable, they were dissolved. It's happening all around you. It's an old-fashioned idea that's about to disappear. I want to thank everybody for listening in. This is Gary, Revolutionary Life, 7 to 9 p.m. every weekday night. Monday through Friday, guys, when we take on some critical subjects, subjects that we think affect our lives every day, but we're looking at them from a revolutionary point of view. We're not just talking about them. We're not just lamenting the problem. We're not crying about it. That's something you can do. There's a different way to go about this situation that puts you in charge of you and your income and your family and your work. That takes you out of a victim mode. You don't hear me. It's time to go international, folks. It's time to look around to other nations, other languages, other cultures, and see where we can consolidate, where we can work together as people, as working folks. Corporations did it a long time ago. You're late to the game. You think Elon Musk gives a damn about a job in America when he can have somebody in China make his car, his batteries? You think we care that Mercedes has a factory here, BMW in Alabama and Mississippi? You think these foreign countries that are bringing factories here, you think they got problems? No, they don't. They were international before you were. It's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to open up and consolidate to a higher being, a more complex being, a multicellular being, isolated in your little world as your livelihood gets taken away to someplace else. That's easy for them to go, hard for you to go there. Listen to Revolutionary Life. I thank everyone who listened in tonight for listening in. We'll be here tomorrow night from 7 p.m. to 9. I have a Facebook page if you want to keep up on what the issues are that we're going to be addressing. And you can always get a heads up by going to that page. The page has the same name, Revolutionary Life. Every aspect of your life needs to be addressed this way. So you stay on the vanguard. You stay on the front. You stay on the top of change. Change is going to happen. You just have to be a part of it or get left behind. Good night, everyone, and thank you for listening in.